Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Tuesday, August 4th, the Feast of St. John Vianney. Hope you're having a beautiful Tuesday morning. The Cure of Ours, pray for us, a patron of priests. Catholic News Agency has a really cool story on their homepage at catholicnewsagency.com, linking to a beautiful encyclical written by John the 23rd about priests and about St. John Vianney, and it's just great. And I was not familiar with it, so I took time to read the story and check out the encyclical this morning in preparation for the show, and I did a little bit on it in my two-cent segment in the first hour, my regional hour of the program. Quite beautiful. And what an example for all of us in terms of humility, in terms of dedication to God. Amazing the amount of time he spent in the confessional. The report on Catholic News Agency says up to 16 hours sometimes a day hearing confessions. And there's even a story about him hearing confessions on his deathbed. Yeah, it's just amazing. And he suffered a lot of persecution in the church, a lot of persecution outside the church. He was making a great difference. And some of the suffering he went through reminds me a lot of what Padre Pio experienced as you read his life story. So he is a patron of priests. Remember to pray for our priests and bishops. We know there are a lot of problems and a lot of issues that we need to address in the church. And every time we turn around, there seems to be a new story about abuse somewhere, a couple of headlines that we're doing for you today for the news links. It can be very depressing and upsetting. But please don't forget that there are many good priests and bishops out there that are sacrificing their life as they should be when they become a priest, and they're a priest forever, as we know from Scripture. So pray for the priests. St. John Vianney is a patron saint of priests, and we remember them in our prayers today. Coming up, we're going to be chatting with Julie and Greg Alexander right after the break. They do a segment entitled Mornings on Marriage, about once a month, talking about issues in marriage. Today, we're going to be talking about how people are doing with COVID, because there's still a lot of issues. Some people are back to work, others aren't. It's really state by state what's happening in terms of some of the hotbed areas. But what Julie and Greg are seeing in their coaching ministry is that many of the issues that were there and not dealt with, that were brewing, came to the forefront when people were home together the last few months. And thanks be to God, many of those couples are reaching out to Julie and Greg. But in speaking with them yesterday in preparation for the show, they were sharing that they believe what they're seeing is just the, you know, we haven't even begun to scratch the surface in what's going on. So this is why their ministry is so important, because they come at it from such a realistic perspective, because they've been there. And this is one of the reasons that Dominic and I have worked with them over the years, because both of us have a miracle story in our marriage. We're, you know, both of us came close to divorce and we're living very selfish, sinful lives and saying, whatever, you know, I'll be fine on my own. Everybody will be fine. Let's just get this over with. And then God shows up. And wow, what a change it can make in your life if you open yourself up and humble yourself to God and what the church says about marriage. Julie and Greg are all about that. They've got a beautiful event online coming up next week. And Dominic and I and a few other couples have done some videos for them. They'll be sharing those video clips and talking about marriage. And what they're really looking for is support, is help. They're looking for other marriage coaches. If this is something on your heart, brothers and sisters, if you've been through something in your marriage, if God has healed your marriage and you want other people to know about the saving power of Jesus and the church teachings in your life, what a great thing in which to be involved. Pope St. John Paul II reminded us over and over again that the way the family goes, so goes the world. You look at the mission of some of these anarchist groups that are out there rioting, tearing down statues, now burning Bibles in certain parts of the country. If you look at their manifestos or their platforms, they are targeting the nuclear family. So all the more reason, if you are asking in prayer, Lord, what do you want us to do as a couple? Maybe it's doing this at your parish. Maybe it's promoting their ministry. But certainly it's time so worth it. So pray about it, but listen closely when Greg and Julie come up right after the break. And then we did find Peter Jesser Smith. Yay, we got worried about him. He's terrific. He's a writer for the Register, and he was so apologetic. He had his phone turned down. It happens. I've done that before. It's very embarrassing, but he was very gracious. And he's got a really important story that's on the Register about Iraqi Christians and what's happening to them. And so we said, come on back. We need you. And so we'll talk about the story we were scheduled to discuss yesterday. So Julie and Greg and then Peter will be joining us and you all on a Tuesday morning. All right, let's get right to the news. There's a lot of it. And thanks be to God, there's some good news regarding Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI. While he is struggling with shingles, it is not serious, according to his secretary. Let's get right to the news and see what's happening in and around our world on a Tuesday. Well, as we just mentioned, news reports this morning saying Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI suffering from a painful disease, but the Vatican does say the health problems are not serious. Benedict's personal secretary saying the 93-year-old is going through the most acute phase of that disease. A German newspaper reporting he is dealing with facial shingles. Construction is resuming on the new St. Nicholas Shrine in Lower Manhattan, the shrine destroyed during the 9/11 attacks, the only building destroyed other than the towers. Work was set to resume this spring on the new St. Nicholas Greek Orthodox Church before the pandemic disrupted those plans. In addition to the church, a non-denominational bereavement center will be set up as a way for people of all faiths to remember those who were lost. And the governor was on hand for a ceremony there yesterday morning. Police are now investigating two fires at Sacred Heart Church in Massachusetts as arson. Both fires began overnight on Sunday. The damage was discovered in the morning of Monday, that's yesterday, August 3rd, and the fires were set near the entrances of that church. But it's unclear at this point the extent of the damage as the investigation continues. The fires are believed to have been set somewhere between 11 p.m. on Sunday and 8 a.m. yesterday. Tropical storm Isaias is moving rapidly through North Carolina after making landfall as a Category 1 hurricane yesterday. Meteorologist Bill Cairns has more.
We already have significant flash flooding taking place in the Raleigh area in eastern North Carolina. Richmond is now under a flash flood warning. We have 52 million people under flash flood watches.
The National Weather Service reporting the storm is centered around 15 miles southeast of Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, a town near the Virginia line. Maximum sustained winds are 70 miles per hour as it moves north-northeast at 28 miles per hour. The storm expected to bring rain and flood risk along the Mid-Atlantic today. Tornadoes are also possible. One also, I believe, touched ground. That's breaking news right now. And that could happen, they say, anytime to the rest of the morning and in eastern Virginia as well. And then expect lots of bad weather in New England later today. Meanwhile, as Scott Pringle tells us, New York City officials are preparing for flooding in Lower Manhattan due to the storm.
Well, it's an area that got hit hard with flooding during Superstorm Sandy. In the first time since Sandy, there are temporary flood barriers. Mayor de Blasio says there's nearly a mile long of sandbags and tiger dams in place in the South Street Seaport area, with up to 2 feet of storm surge expected.
This is the one area we're particularly concerned about given the projections, and we have the tools ready to address it.
Meanwhile, the MTA says outdoor trains will be halted if winds exceed 39 miles per hour. Forecast is calling for gusts of up to 60 miles per hour.
Senator Ted Cruz of Texas aiming to highlight the role Antifa and like-minded groups are playing in riots across the country. He's convening a special Senate hearing today on that issue. He says radical left-wing groups are engaging in organized terror attacks designed to tear down government institutions. The hearing is called The Right of the People Peacefully to Assemble, Protecting Speech by Stopping Anarchist Violence. Jennifer Polsoni tells us the New York Police Department investigating three separate shootings in a two-hour span.
Two men shot during a dispute near the basketball court at St. Mary's Park in the South Bronx just before 8 Monday night. A 22-year-old man hit in the leg, 38-year-old man struck in the arm, expected to survive. Some 15 minutes later, a man and woman taking themselves to the hospital in Harlem with gunshot wounds saying they'd been hit by gunfire at the Lincoln Houses. Another couple gunned down in the courtyard at the Soundview Houses in the Bronx, all recapping another night of growing city violence.
The city of Dayton, Ohio, marking a tragic anniversary by observing 9 minutes of silence today for the victims of last year's deadly shooting in a bar. Nine people killed, over a dozen hurt when a lone gunman opened fire. The shooting happened less than 24 hours after a massacre in El Paso, Texas, left nearly two dozen dead, making it one of the most deadly weekends in recent memory. Mike Bauer tells us negotiations are still ongoing between the Trump administration and top congressional Democrats on an additional coronavirus stimulus package.
The trigger point is that Congress won't do its job. You have them out on TV lying today about who's holding up the $600 extension.
Speaking with reporters, counselor to the president, Kellyanne Conway, said Congress is failing to do its job after no deal was reached before unemployment benefits expired last week. The policy deadlines, at least to this point, haven't sparked a deal, and the Senate is scheduled to leave for an August recess at the end of this week, but there's zero sense something will come together before then. Neither side wants to leave town for the month without reaching an agreement, but at this point, that agreement and the process of actually getting it through both chambers is a long way off.
Dr. Anthony Fauci offering a message for local officials on reopening schools.
The default position should be to try as best as you possibly can to open up the schools for in-person learning.
The nation's top infectious disease expert joining Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont during a briefing on Monday, Fauci citing in-person learning, offering a psychological benefit, he says, to children who may also rely on school meals for proper nutrition. The top health official noting the health and safety of all children and staff should be priority number one. He added, if transmission chances are low, reopening schools can work with measures such as face coverings and social distancing. Delta's CEO is pushing for more federal aid for passenger airlines. Ed Bastian telling the Washington Post yesterday the Atlanta-based airline seeking six additional months in an extension of CARES Act funding. Delta and other airlines agreed not to furlough employees until the end of September, so that agreement would be extended as well. President Trump firing the Tennessee Valley Authority's top leadership for getting paid too much and for, he says, hiring foreign workers.
I'm signing an executive order to ensure that the federal government lives by a very simple rule, hire American.
Speaking with reporters yesterday, the president telling them at the White House he was formally removing the authority's chair of the board and another member of that board. Trump said, if you betray American workers, you will hear two simple words, you were fired. The TVA is a federally owned corporation created in 1933 to provide flood control, electricity generation, fertilizer manufacturing, and economic development to the Tennessee Valley. The region covers most of Tennessee and parts of Alabama, Mississippi, and Kentucky, as well as small sections of Georgia, North Carolina, and Virginia. The Postmaster General is being invited to testify before a House committee next month. The Oversight Chair, Carolyn Maloney of New York, extending the invitation for a hearing on September 17th. The new date comes after the Postmaster General was not available to attend a hearing this week. Maloney saying the hearing would examine the Postal Service's role in delivering the mail on time during the election and the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. Various changes to the Postal Service are expected to be examined further. Brian Shook tells us that Twitter could lose as much as $250 million after revealing a complaint from the Federal Trade Commission.
The complaint alleges the social media platform used information from security questions to target advertising. The FTC said Twitter doing so violates a 2011 consent order between the social media platform and the federal agency. Twitter disclosed the complaint Monday in its second quarter filings, and within an hour, stocks dropped 1%.
13 minutes past the hour as we move into our break, and then our next segment with Julie and Greg Alexander of the Alexander House. Marriage coaches thought this was a perfect story to wrap up the news, and it's out of my home state of Michigan in the Thumb area, beautiful area known as Port Huron. I'm married for 62 years. A man took a job at a nursing home to be allowed to see his wife. Larry and Carol Burnett became separated for 4 months because of COVID and restrictions on visitation at nursing homes where Carol lived for 2 years, has lived for 2 years.
It was exciting. It was great. We hugged, we kissed, probably shouldn't have. But.
He's been there, by the way, for 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, and says he'll keep at the job even after the pandemic ends. Wow, what a beautiful love story, a beautiful story of sacrifice and dedication. When we come back, Julie and Greg Alexander, the Alexander House, and Mornings on Marriage. It is a Tuesday morning, August 4th. You're listening to EWTN, the Global Catholic Radio Network. This program co-produced by EWTN and the Ave Maria Radio Network. Stay tuned.
brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children. And I will tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT, 27% higher on English and reading. It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to SetonHome.org. SetonHome.org.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at AveMariaRadio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Tuesday morning, always great to have Greg and Julie Alexander from the Alexander House, thealexanderhouse.org, and they've got a special event coming up next weekend. But first, I just want to catch up with them and how things are going. I know they're very, very busy, and it's good that people are seeking help and advice for their marriages, but also I know it can probably be discouraging. Greg, let me go to you first. Thank you both for joining us again for our monthly get-together on the air. What are you seeing? Is it getting any better? Are more couples coming forward expressing issues that have come up because of COVID, you know, being in close proximity together? For example, maybe both were working or one was working, now they're both at home together. What are you seeing? Is it getting better at this point, or what are you seeing that makes you more concerned?
It's not getting any better, Teresa. It's getting worse. We're getting more and more couples. We right now have about a two-month waiting period to be able to get to our next set of couples, and it's just crazy. You know, usually around December, first part of the year, we see kind of this kind of traffic, if you will, but it never has extended this far out into the year. I mean, we're almost back in December again. So one of the things we're doing as a result is training other couples as marriage disciples to really help carry the load, but more importantly, to be there to minister to these hurting couples to help bring them back together and to bring them back to Christ.
So, Julie, if couples think that this is something that they would like to do, to be a marriage coach, what's required, do you think? You don't have to have, let's say, a counseling degree or anything like that, but what are you looking for?
We're looking for those couples who have been to hell and back. And I say that seriously, Teresa. We need couples who have struggled, and are immediate and ready to admit that their struggle was real, but how the church and her teachings and Christ and through prayer have redeemed that. Because what we see, Teresa, is the couples that come to see us, 9 times out of 10, they've already been to traditional counseling, and they're looking for somebody not who can intellectualize their issues, but who can understand the pain they're going through. It's like when you and Deacon Dom came here years ago and you did your testimony, it was absolutely incredible to see how many people were pulled into that story because they hear you on the radio. You didn't talk about your marriage a whole lot earlier, but then once you did and you started sharing that, oh my gosh, Teresa Tomio and Deacon Dom struggled one time, it makes people let down their guard. It allows people to take a breath and go, okay, wait a minute. If they made it, then we have hope as well. Mm-hmm. And so we look for those people who've been for, that live their faith, that they've been married for at least 7 years, and they attend Mass regularly, especially nowadays if they can. It's even hard to say that. But, right. but really looking for those individual issues where they've overcome. Because couples, not only do they want to know that this couple has experienced what they've gone through, but that their specific issues. So there's all kinds of things that people are dealing with, whether it's in-laws or infidelity or infertility or loss of a job, you name it. I mean, we're just looking for those couples who have overcome and are still just working on making their marriage what God intends it to be.
And Greg, you train them, correct? The couples who would be interested in marriage coaching.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, we've employed now the help of Robin Zamora, who has been working with her. She and her husband, George, have been working with us for the last 10 years as marriage disciples. So now she has assumed the role of director of the marriage disciples. So we actually have our first training tomorrow, and she's sitting in on it. But after tomorrow, it's all hers.
How many couples would help you, let's say, eliminate this backlog? Because I'm sure that breaks your heart that you can't, that you have to sleep, right? Because otherwise you'd be doing this 24/7. I mean, you also have a family that you have to take care of as well, and a new beautiful grandbaby, by the way. Congratulations. But, I mean, how many couples do you think realistically would help you in dealing with the backlog and what you're seeing out there in terms of need, Greg?
Well, ideally, Teresa, we'd like to have at least two marriage disciples in every diocese across the nation. I mean, we get couples all over, not only just here in our nation, but across the waters as well. And so we want to start here, of course, in our nation. We are handpicking 12 couples, like somebody else I know, very famous, but 12 couples to really work with, to kind of work out the kinks in the system as well, to make sure we have it kind of smooth and polished to be able to open it up. And we're actually going to do online training in the future. So as couples come at their own leisure, they'd be able to go through the training online, of course, checking in with us periodically to see if they are really learning what needs to be learned and kind of doing kind of like a final exam at the end. So we're really excited about this opportunity because, again, the help is needed. There's a lot of people that need help, and I think the Holy Spirit is looking for people to go to work in this vineyard to help bring couples back together.
We're talking with Greg and Julie Alexander of the Alexander House. Check them out online, thealexanderhouse.org. Talking about a number of different topics in terms of what's going on with marriages because of COVID. We're talking about their marriage coaches, which they need, as you heard, very greatly. And if you are thinking about this, take it to prayer. Maybe you can even go to the website and contact Julie and Greg, and they can give you an idea if you are someone who might really be good at this. Maybe this truly is part of your calling, part of your vocation. And when we come back after the break, we're going to talk about a beautiful virtual event you're having next week. But I want to go back, Julie, to some of the other things that we're seeing. You both mentioned some serious problems that people are facing, especially the stress from possibly money situations because of COVID, perhaps certain addictions or infidelity. But there's also, I think, just a general sense of what the culture sells us as, and you and I were there, right? Career women, blah, blah, blah. Not that there's anything wrong with having a career, but when you make that the focus of your life, things get topsy-turvy, as we both learned. This idea that we have to be, quote-unquote, happy every single second of the day, or else then we have to move to the next best thing. That is an issue, is it not still, Julie?
Oh, it's absolutely an issue, Teresa, because I'm just going to call it what we see it being is it's the spirit of the world right now. You look at everything from our country to the streets in our neighborhoods to the church, now in the homes. Literally, it's a spirit of anger, a spirit of frustration, a spirit of accusing, a spirit of divide. I mean, we're just seeing everything come to the top of the pot, if you will, because we're having couples that we know, Teresa, good couples, good solid couples that are calling us of issues that are coming up. But what we're seeing is God in his almighty wisdom, he's allowing these things to come up because every one of us has wounds. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we bury our wounds and they come out in different ways. We take it out on different ways, whether it's alcohol or pornography or, like you said, overexerting and something else, escaping to something. But what we don't realize is the wounds that we have, when they're not dealt with, we will continue to struggle and we will continue to not understand our purpose. So what we've realized is when these are coming up, we're telling couples, embrace it. Do that whole thing that we know that we hear in Scripture where it gives, give me a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, and let that stuff come out, because when it comes out, then you can deal with it.
Yeah.
Too often we've tried to shelter it, to hide it. We don't want anybody to know that we're having issues or dealing with it. Everyone is having issues. We're all wounded people, and we're all sinners.
Yeah.
If we can admit that and come to that understanding, then people are like, wow, oh my gosh, then you understand what I'm going through. That's what we're looking for, especially in this marriage discipling. It's to assist couples in not losing hope, because oftentimes there's not hope out there. People are encouraging people to stay together. They're giving them reasons to get out.
Yeah. And then the hurt continues, because especially if you have children, well, that bond is always there in the sacrament of marriage, but you have children, and then the pain doesn't go away, because you have to deal with a whole other set of circumstances. More with Julie and Greg Alexander on how we can help raise up marriage again. We are talking our mornings on marriage, as we do every month. Check out their powerful website at thealexanderhouse.org. We'll be right back on a Tuesday morning. Stay tuned.
Bishop Robert Barron.
Find out in any cultural situation, who's the Lord? There's somebody or some principle, some figure, some institution that has central importance in that culture. Whether it's king, whether it's the military, who knows what it is? Go up and down the centuries. What's the Lord? The declaration of the Lordship of Jesus will always be a challenge to whatever that reigning Lord happens to be. The Lord today is my personal freedom. I decide what my life is. I decide who I am. I decide everything from my gender to the ultimate meaning of my life. Now that personal freedom is so powerful that it's become the Lord. To evangelize the culture is therefore to challenge them and to say, no, it's not your own ego, not your own freedom that's Lord. Jesus determines the meaning of your life. Jesus is the center of your life, not your own freedom.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
I wrote a new book called Wheat and Tares as a way to approach the sexual abuse crisis by clergy in the Catholic Church. I hope that this book would be something that came out of my prayer for a lot of months and would be able to help inform your prayer.
Wheat and Tares, Restoring the Moral Vision of a Scandalized Church by Father Mitch Pacwa. Now available at EWTNRC.com.
Call to Communion.
Through EWTN Radio, we talk to audiences all over the world. One thing I've found out is everybody in the whole world has the same set of questions. They live the same human life. They all want meaning. They all want love. They all want significance. They want forgiveness. That's the most fascinating thing to me. The same answers work wherever you are throughout the world, because we're all children of God.
Called to Communion with Dr. David Anders, this afternoon, 2 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Got it.
Minutes past the hour. Welcome back. Catholic Connection. Love talking with Julie and Greg. They do such great work. I just admire them so much, and that's one of the reasons that Deacon Dom and I have been supporting them for years and working with them actually closely. We've done conferences together, and they're contributing to many of the written works that we've done in the past on marriage, and a future book that's coming out in the fall with their testimony story, which is phenomenal. And I know that they have an event next weekend, and I'll be mentioning it as we lead up to it. But, Greg, let me have you give the details, because this would be a great way for people to learn more about. We only have, 15 minutes here, but they'll have more time next weekend to learn about the Alexander House. So share with us what's happening virtually for you.
Yes, Teresa, thanks. Because of the COVID situation, we're not able to do events as we normally would. And, of course, we are solely supported by donors. And so we figure we follow suit like everybody else and do an event online. So we have this Alexander House First Virtual Gala, and we have some bunch of wonderful speakers offering commentary. You, yourself, Deacon Dom, Father John Ricardo, Matt and Adriana Burke.
Father John Ricardo, put a fork in me, I'm done. That's all you need to hear, right?
Oh, I know. We were just floored when he accepted the invitation to actually say something. Father Ken Geraci, Fathers of Mercy. We're going to have a few testimonials from couples who have actually experienced the work of the Alexander House, specifically through the Marriage Disciples program. But the whole program is geared to again, garner support for the work that we do, as we don't charge couples that come to see us for the marriage discipling, but more importantly, to continue to train other couples as well, the time, energy, and effort, and money that it takes to really spend time with these couples, to train them, to get them up.
Well, the overhead to keep up your website, to do things online. I mean, just the actual, you know, the getting, you know, keeping the message up, providing materials. I mean, you have to, and it's very gracious and honorable of you not to charge couples, but you still need to function, and you still need to have, you know, some financial support. So when is this? Next Sunday, right? A week from this Sunday.
Yeah, so it's going to be Sunday, August 16th at 6:30 p.m. And so we've been amazed by the response thus far, people signing up, and just incredible. Really looking so forward to it.
And Teresa, we're asking people to get a glass of wine, get a drink, or, you know, hors d'oeuvres, and sit on their couch, really, and enjoy just an evening that they'll hear about just these amazing speakers. Again, we're just so grateful for all of you that just support us and believe in this mission. We've been doing the Alexander House Apostolate for 21 years, and we are in awe of the thousands and thousands and thousands of couples, and we just thank you for supporting us, but also our donors out there and the people that support us, because without them, these couples have no hope, and it's amazing the miracles we see. Over 5,000 couples we've worked with, and we do everything through Zoom over the internet, and it's beautiful. We also have a couple who does this in Spanish. And we have a couple the other day that is very interested from France. So we're praying, because we work with them in their marriage, and we're hoping that they will be one of the marriage disciples that are trained. So,
oh, my gosh. That would be amazing. Yeah. But, you know, so you're going international.
Yes, God is. We don't know what we're doing, but God's taking us where he wants us to go.
You're like, whatever. Fasten the seatbelt, you know, which is exactly what you have to do, right?
I was going to say, going international right here in San Antonio.
There you go. No, but think about that, because France, I mean, if you think about how Catholic it was, I mean, the history of that country with Catholicism and the problems that they have in terms of so few Catholics going to Mass and the many problems, then we're seeing the same thing. I hope somebody, a couple from Italy, steps up to the plate, because Italy is in dire need as well. I mean, they're very traditional and cultural Catholics, where they, the feast days and all these celebrations, but again, I just saw an article on the Register from Edward Penton talking about how few Catholics, even fewer Catholics now going to Mass after COVID. You know, it went down during COVID, obviously, because they couldn't go to Mass, and many were watching online. But now it's like it's changed everything, and not for the better, according to a recent post that he had. So I do hope that this grows. Maybe if it starts in France, you can get marriage coaches from other parts of Europe. What do you think, Julie?
Yeah, we're praying for that, Teresa, because I'm telling you, as we all know, the foundation is marriage. I mean, and it's the final battle. We hear Sister Lucia, you know, in Fatima.
Right.
The final battle between God and Satan is about marriage and the family. And that's where it starts. And I keep saying, you know, we're all so concerned about what's happening out there in the streets and what's happening in the church and what's happening in the White House. We should be. But we've got to first look at our own house, our domestic church, and we've got to become what God called us to become, and then we take it from there, and it builds up from there.
Yeah. And I also want to go ahead, Greg. Go ahead.
I was going to say, while on that note as well, you know, we've been going to Germany for the last 3 years doing workshops as well. So we do have a bunch of couples there that we're in communication with. There's a friend, Mwanda, from Uganda that we're talking to. And there's also a couple of couples in Romania as well.
Wow.
And they've really been expressing the fact that, one, there's nothing available, and two, the things that are available are not of the faith, and they're so expensive. And so this is a great opportunity to allow Christ, God's teaching, the church's teachings to be disseminated literally across the world, and no financial obligation for those who need help, because as many times, finances is one of the issues that they're struggling with in the first place.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, the counseling can be costly, and couples, you know, especially when they're struggling. And what a blessing for people maybe who are unemployed or laid off temporarily, who really can't afford it. It's a double whammy for them because of the COVID situation and their jobs. And again, it's alexanderhouse.org. And so it's next weekend. Give us a date. So we'll talk about it, and I'm going to try to squeeze you on again next week to remind people. But give us a date and the time and how people can find out, Greg.
Yeah, again, it's going to be Sunday, August 16th at 6:30 p.m. Central, let me say that, because there's so many
times. So it's 7:30 Eastern. Okay, all right.
And then you're going to go to thealexanderhouse.org, thealexanderhouse.org, and just click on the link for virtual gala. You can sign up there, and we'll just kind of keep you in the loop and have everything set for you in terms of login for that Sunday night.
You know, I think as we wrap up, and Julia, I'll go to you. I think this would be a really neat thing if you're involved, let's say, in a marriage ministry in your parish, to invite the other couples or maybe some engaged couples, depending, of course, on what your restrictions are in terms of how many people you can have, you know, in your home. Want to make sure you're following, you know, social distancing rules, but maybe have some people over and have a viewing party. That's been done before. You can even do that together online. But I think it would be neat to encourage marriage ministries around the country to join in on this and to see how they can bring this into their own area and encourage marriage coaches within the parishes. What do you think?
That's exactly what we're asking for, Teresa, and thank you for saying that, because what we're seeing, as we know, even those involved in marriage ministry are not away from the attempts of getting
right.
having trouble. And
right.
I'll say that. I mean, Greg and I, every day, I mean, we have to use the tools that we tell these couples to use. We're not perfect. Mm-hmm. We're human. But by the grace of God and by the things that we give these couples, literally, Teresa, I love that, because coming together in a group, in a community, as you can in this time, is so important, because people need community. People need to come together and support, especially in this foundational purpose for marriage and the family.
Yeah, and Teresa, we just celebrated our 33rd anniversary a couple of weeks ago.
Ah, congratulations!
So well, thank you, and I'm just happy to say that Julia is finally now learning. So,
we'll come talk to you guys later.
You know what, Greg, I love about you? Get humble, more and more humble every time we speak. I just got to say that, my friend. You know, today would be a good day. Speaking of humility, Greg, just saying, look at the life of St. John Vianney. Just saying. Love you both. Keep up the great work. And again, it's the 16th of August, 7:30 Eastern Time, thealexanderhouse.org, the virtual gala. And we'll be promoting it on my Facebook page and getting the word out again. So important, and they don't charge couples, for crying out loud. Marriage coaches, they need your support. We'll be right back.
What does the Holy Spirit do for the church? The Catholic Catechism tells us that behind every vital and saving action in each part of the body, the church, is the Holy Spirit. There are numerous venues through which the Holy Spirit works to build up the body in charity. Through baptism, through the sacraments, through the grace of the apostles, through the virtues, through charisms. Charisms are special graces from the Holy Spirit which directly or indirectly benefit the church. The Catechism describes a charism as a wonderfully rich grace for the apostolic vitality and holiness of the entire body, provided they are genuine gifts and are used in response to authentic promptings of the Holy Spirit in keeping with charity, the true measure of all charisms. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
I'm Dr. Stan Williams. Contemplate the universe with me.
Your young men will see visions.
The World Trade Tower safety director had a dream that the towers were falling. His wife dreamed the same. On 9/11, he lost his life rescuing a child when the towers did fall. A woman was suddenly impressed to pray for the safety of a missionary on the other side of the world. 3 weeks later, she discovered the missionary's life was in danger at that very hour. Animals came to Noah. He did not seek them out. When an elephant rescue worker died in Africa, a herd of elephants surprisingly showed up at his funeral. Mystery adds zest to life. But like quantum entanglement, something else is going on. Exactly what? We have no idea. But God knows. And one day you will too. At AveMariaRadio.net, under Resources, explore the universe with me. I'm Dr. Stan Williams.
Nine minutes past the hour on a Tuesday, and so important to remember our brothers and sisters in the faith who are being persecuted, and it's happening like never before in certain parts of the world. There's more information, of course, coming out about Nigeria and other parts of Africa. And persecution against Christians in the Middle East has been going on for years. And I know from my trips to the Holy Land, every time I go, it seems that there are fewer and fewer Christians in the Holy Land. because of the persecution. And now we're seeing more of this in Iraq. And Peter Jesser Smith, our guest, staff writer for the National Catholic Register, wrote a very comprehensive article reflecting on the issues and what needs to be done. Peter, thanks so much. What brought you to come up with this piece and really write about the concerns of our brothers and sisters in Iraq? Good morning.
Well, thank you so much, Therese. It's great to be here. I mean, I followed this issue for the Register for really the past, 6 years now, ever since ISIS launched its invasion and kicked off, really kicked off the final genocide of Christians here in Iraq. So, I mean, I've spoken with these people. I met Christian refugees, personally in Jordan, and one of the things, when you speak to them, the only thing that you can offer to help them is to tell their story, and mm-hmm. it kind of becomes like a lifelong thing. They offer you coffee and then no charge, but it's kind of an infinite price because you say, well, in return, I'm going to try to tell your story as much as possible. So I saw a new report from the Age of the Church in Need that basically said, unless something happens now, we're going to see Christians just completely quit on this whole process of trying to return to northern Iraq. And if that happens, that's going to be a double tragedy too, Teresa, because we're now in the 100th anniversary of the first genocide mm-hmm. of Christians in this region that was started by the Ottoman Turks,
right?
By Turkey. And so in many ways, we need to do today what couldn't have been done 100 years ago, and we need to act to reverse this genocide that's happening in Iraq.
Do you think the world is becoming more aware of this outside the Christian, the body of Christ, both Catholic and Protestant?
I think the real issue that we have, I think, is that the world is only aware in it so much that what happens to Iraq's Christians makes sense to them from a kind of a worldly or short-term perspective. And unfortunately, there's a lot of world leaders that are distracted with this, that, and the other thing. And not enough Christians really understand what is happening to Christians in Iraq and why it's so important that their 2,000-year presence continue there. I think a lot of people are kind of writing them off when they've really been 11 for peace, culture, understanding. So it's really right now a duty and responsibility of Catholics and Christians all over to continue to spread the word about the Christians in Iraq, and in particular the hope. That's why I wanted to write this article about the five things that must change now for Iraq's Christians. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's not simply a doom and gloom thing. It's really to place in the hands of all your listeners here that you can do something about this. You can contact your government representatives. You can let the people that you buy from, multinational corporations, say, look, a lot of different social causes, but this one really does. And I think also that when you get into the article, like for Christians to stay in Iraq or even to return, there needs to be a huge economic rebound. But, that's possible for that area. I mean, this part of Iraq where Christians are, their homeland, the reason the gospel came there
right.
is because it was along trading routes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so that's possible if we get the security situation under control, the prime minister becomes strengthened to deal with the corruption, and if there's heavy economic investment following that, that's an area that can link, poor countries to that part of northern Iraq, and Christians could be a huge, huge beneficial force for it, and that would be a beneficial force for stable and lasting peace in the region. That's what Christians have to understand. That's what they got to transmit to all these people, why this is worth their attention.
We're talking with staff writer for the Register, Peter Jesser Smith, a very detailed and, as I mentioned, comprehensive article on the situation with our Christian brothers and sisters in Iraq, Return or Go Extinct, Five Things That Must Change Now for Iraq's Christians. We don't have time, Peter, to go through all five of them, but
yeah.
One of the things I think we also need to do is to educate ourselves on our biblical history and how biblical Iraq is and how often it's mentioned in Scripture and what it means to us in terms of our faith and our history as a church.
Absolutely. I think this is a thing that all of us really need to understand, is that the Iraqi Christians are descended, are basically part of that same Assyrian people that you read about in your Bibles.
Right.
And in that way, they are a living testament, a living witness to the fact that God's word entered into history and played out through various peoples. Just as the Jewish people are witness to this promise, witness to God's action through human history, so too are the our Iraqi Christians who come from the same Assyrian people. They speak that same
language that Jesus spoke, Aramaic. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Precisely. Yep. Mm-hmm. So if they go extinct, then the rest of the world can say, well, you know, maybe Christianity was a myth after all. You know, and that they're living witnesses. They're the living stones upon which our faith is built. And that's a huge reason why we have to do everything in our power to make sure that they not just don't go extinct, but they are able to return and carry on that witness.
The thing that's so sad is that they've been driven out because of the violence and because of all the unrest. And we have a large number of refugees that came here to southeastern Michigan. We have one of the largest communities of Iraqi Christians, especially Chaldeans, that have come and tried to rebuild. But many of them dream and pray one day that they can go back. It's not that they wanted to. They wanted to stay. They did not want to leave, just like the plight
Correct.
Of many of the Christians in the Holy Land area in Bethlehem. And I think we take so much for granted here, Peter, with our faith.
Absolutely.
Even though, for example, we've gone through a lot with COVID, nothing compared to what Christians in other parts of the world have faced and continue to face.
No. I mean, in order to really imagine it, you have to literally imagine that, you know, whether you are wealthy, whether you're, you know, working class, whether you're comfortably middle class, just imagine, you know, being told to leave everything behind, everything, and go walk 8 hours to find refuge somewhere. And that's precisely who these people are. They're the best and brightest of Iraq, and being told to do that, or, you know, you can stay and abandon your faith in Christ. And those who did, and there were a few that did, they suffered enormous hell. The rule under life of ISIS was hell for all those involved. But it was really an incredible witness, because those were very, very few, and it was 100,000 people that left rather than abandon their life in Jesus Christ. And all of us need to say, how can I be a disciple of Jesus, and how can I follow him today, that I may have the courage to have that same response if it is required of me? That's something that they have to teach. That's something that they have to teach the rest of the church. And it's really important that, you know, we do everything that we can to allow them to return, to be the leaven there, to be a source of peace. And as I point out in this article for the National Catholic Register, there are a lot of things that can happen. There's a lot of good things, good initiatives that already underway in Iraq, especially with the youth-driven protest movement that's identified, sectarianism, including the establishment of Islam as official religion, as a huge problem. Now, that's a majority of Muslims right there. So there's a lot of possibilities, but we can't delay. We have to take the opportunity now to change that trajectory. There's no later involved. It is now.
So when you say we, of whom are we speaking with that, Peter? Because are we talking about the Catholic Church? Are we talking about government? Are we talking about a combination of both when you use the pronoun we to make
We're
a difference
talking here? About all of the above, but what we're especially talking about is you and me and the listener. And that's the point I really need to drive home. Nobody else is going to do it. You can only count on yourself to do it. That means you have to talk to your pastor. Today, you have to go call up your representative. Say, I want something to change. There's a piece of legislation in here, In Defense of Christians, an advocacy organization.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have chapters. They have legislation. You can find out today and say something. Organize your friends and neighbors. Do studies. We have a lot of information at the National Catholic Register. Age of the Church, Catholic Near East Welfare Association, You know, get those speakers, talk to them, but realize that this is hope. Hope requires that we do something about it. And that's the thing that we have to understand, is that the personal responsibility for what happens to Christianity in Iraq has to be taken up at a very personal level.
Yes,
and then
each person
that will involve
yeah.
all mm-hmm. church, government, etc.
Before we let you go, you did have some powerful quotes from Archbishop Bashar Warda of the Chaldean Catholic Archdiocese in speaking yeah. to the Register. He's talking about the present security system in Iraq, a complete failure. Wow.
He is talking about it. It has been a complete failure. I mean, Turkey is 25 miles inside the
right.
country. Can you imagine if Canada had troops 25 miles inside the United States?
Mm-hmm.
And yet the Christians are probably got about 3 years at most, if anything. But here's a beautiful quote I think we all should be left with, because they received the gospel from this first century Assyrian communities. And he said, I believe that this mission is clear, that the Christians of Iraq must continually show to themselves and to their neighbors that they can truly be the salt of the earth, the peacemakers and peace builders that this fractured country so desperately needs. And honestly, yeah. I think what he said about Christians in Iraq, I think all of us should take to heart as Christians in our own country.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we can learn so much of them in terms of our biblical history, our faith, and also just the strength under extreme conditions and persecution. What a witness they are and still are for those who are here in this country and are hoping at some point to go back and restart their businesses. And I remember a movie that my friend Vanessa Denha-Garmo worked on, a documentary that was shown here in the Detroit area about so many people just leaving everything. Peter, and you know this, they were doctors,
yeah.
they were lawyers, they were engineers, they had companies that they had built up, just walked away from everything to save their lives because they didn't want to leave their faith, and so they sacrificed everything else for that.
Yeah. So we've received much from them. So to whom much is given, much is expected.
Amen. Beautiful. Peter, thanks. A very well done article. Appreciate it. You're going to be writing on this again anytime soon?
Absolutely. I don't think I'm going to stop writing on this until the Christians are all returned and back home in Iraq. So, I'm going to do my best. I made a promise, and I'm keeping it.
Well, good for you, and good journalism. Thank you so much for it. Return or Go Extinct, 5 Things That Must Change Now for Iraqi Christians. And this was published on Friday, July 31st at the National Catholic Register. Andrew, as he always does, will have a link to this article. I would post it. I would share it. And I want to pray. I would pray about what we can do, as Peter said, individually. Sometimes we feel, oh, there's no hope, we can't make a difference, but every single person can make a difference. And it's our responsibility, as much as the leaders in the church, as much as the leaders in government, to recognize what's going on with the Christian faith in this country and around the world. The persecution is real, but there is something we can do about it. Peter, thanks again. God bless your efforts. Keep it up, and we'll be right back to let you know what's coming up on a Wednesday morning edition of Catholic Connection. You're listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Hi there, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
Research shows that when families openly live and share their faith together, they're more able to respond positively to the challenges they face every day.
So if you're looking for help in creating that joyful place where each member of your family experiences life as a gift from God, then you will want to check out our book, Discovering God Together, The Catholic Guide for Raising Faithful Kids.
You can find this book on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo. Your search for affordable health care stops here. Since 2014, CMF Curo has provided Catholics with affordable health care sharing that goes beyond insurance. With programs that cost less than many COBRA and ACA-sponsored plans, CMF Curo is a Catholic health sharing experience that enables you to live fully alive while saving money. Call 1-833-GET-CURO to find affordable Catholic health care now. That's 1-833-GET-CURO.
Thanks so much for staying tuned to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. As always, tomorrow on a Wednesday, we go to Rome. We'll get the latest on what's happening with Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI, who's struggling right now with shingles, which is a very, very painful, painful skin illness, but it's not serious. He's in a lot of pain, bless his heart. But other than that, he is expected to recover. So she'll give us an update, and we'll also chat with the amazing Dr. Mary Healy. Love her work. She's a writer. She's a speaker. And she is a professor, also a consultant to the Vatican on all things scripture. She joins us tomorrow to take a look at the Vatican issues regarding new guidelines for Catholic parishes. There was a really good article in the Catholic News Agency recently, Five Things You Should Know. So we'll talk about that with Dr. Healy and get her perspective as it impacts evangelization. And then again, as I mentioned, going to Roma to speak with Joan Lewis, the latest on Papa Benedetto and the latest news from Rome as well. We'll talk to you on a Wednesday. Ciao, ciao. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.